This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on his choke cord. But it's no holds barred, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I'm We Too Deep. That's DJ Wavy D. And before we jump into the wrestling part of this show, we gotta give a shout out real quick to the Boston Celtics, the now 18-time world champions.
Yes, took
the record back from the Lakers. They've never been in front, that I don't believe. I think the Celtics have always been in front. So we were tied with LeBron getting that one title, but we took it back. We had to get it back. So
yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? We got more. We know Ric Flair. We know John Cena. They're 16-time world champs.
Right.
The Lakers are 17 world-time world champs.
Right.
Let me get 18 chops and Ric Flair. Woo!
Woo! Yes, sir. Now, on that end, I know we were having a little debate with this in one of the Discords. JB won the MVP. You think it should have been Tatum? I know you were saying it. Maybe Tatum could have gotten it.
I'm okay with either one of my dogs getting it. I was on Team Tatum getting it just because he averaged more points, assists, and rebounds. He led the Celtics in points, assists, and rebounds in the finals. Only the sixth player in NBA history to do that. But I do feel like for the longer benefit of the Celtics, I think it's better that JB got the finals MVP, because I think Tatum was more worried about just getting a championship period. Where I think JB, you know what I'm saying, now you get the finals MVP, that he'll get more respect from the media as far as being like a top 15 time player.
Right.
And that he'll be more comfortable sticking around with the Celtics long term.
Right. And then just a shout out to old man Horford over here finally getting one.
Yes, sir.
Played like, what was it, like 200 playoff games or something like that he's played?
Yeah. He was second, I think tied for second behind Karl Malone.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. It's crazy, but he's finally got one. He can go. I mean, I think he probably retires now, but
he might play one more season. I mean, he's under contract for one more year.
One more, and we'll see. Maybe one more. We'll see. But let's get into the wrestling side of things. As always, QR code on the bottom right of the screen. A lot of new shirts. You know, Seth Rollins just came back. Of course, the shirt everyone's probably already got sold out. But, you know, you never know with the debut of the Wyatt Six. And we'll talk about all of that here later on in the show. But that QR code will take you there to help out. And supporting the podcast as we get a small portion of the sale. And all the other links are in the description as well. Don't forget on Thursdays to check out the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Me and Wavy D were on there last week doing the little draft thing we were doing. Wavy D ended up winning the fan vote, at least on Twitter.
Yes, sir, here we go.
You know, he had a pretty decent draft. I still think mine's the best of the, you know, but we'll see. It is what it is. But they're going to be talking about. I think they're going to talk why. I think they're talking. I just saw their post on what they were doing.
They throw the White Six a little bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And the Owen Hart tournament that's starting. Mm-hmm. I think this week or next week. So that's what they're going to be discussing. Thursday live on their YouTube page, which is in the description as well. Before we jump into Let's Get Cooking, we got some news here that I saw. I wanted to get your thoughts on. There's reports that management is not happy with Cody Reigns' title reign in the idea that viewership sort of gone down and merch sales aren't as high as they want it to be. What's your thoughts on this?
So I don't know if it's the overall Cody Rhodes problem, because like when Cody Rhodes comes out, everybody in the crowd is still wearing his t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Everybody's still singing "Whoa." He's still kissing babies. Like the crowd loves him. Everyone's still singing his song. I think it has to do with lack of, or from the standpoint that SmackDown as a whole is lacking.
Yeah.
I think the Bloodline 2.0 is lacking a little bit, just because they really got no one to face, especially because for like a little while you're keeping them away from the Cody Rhodes storyline, kind of for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they're picking on people like Kevin Owens kind of for no reason. And so the Bloodline storyline has been slacking a little bit. They've done little to nothing with the tag team division over there. Theory and Waller, I think, defended it like once since winning it at WrestleMania. They haven't done much over there. The U.S. title picture, you know, Logan Paul has been, you know, keeping that title since Mania. Or was it before Mania? Did he win it at Mania or he had before Mania?
Yeah, he's had it for like 200 something days.
Yeah, he's had it for a while. I forgot when he won it actually, but he, you know, saying same thing with Logan Paul. He's not there every week, so you're on Cody Rhodes, and all you know, your main eventers should be wrestling every week on free TV.
Mm-hmm.
So you're relying on a lot of stuff, and since Cody's the champion, since Cody's the face of the brand, it falls on his shoulders. You know, the blame. You know, he gets the blame and the fame, but I think it's an issue just on everything else around him.
Right.
The show isn't the best.
I agree. I agree with what you said. Absolutely. I think a lot of this, though, comes back to, I've been saying this for what feels like 2 or 3 years now. When Roman lost the title, what did you expect was going to happen? Like, people tuned in for Roman, for what the Bloodline was going to do. And I don't think this is Cody's fault. That I didn't think that they had anything to fall back on once Roman lost the title. I mean, I asked the question, we finished the story, now what happened? Now what's going to happen now that we finished the story? There's nothing else really for Cody to make him interesting outside of he defends the title. And so I don't think it's Cody's fault per se, because like you did say, I mean, everyone cheers, sings a song, you know, people are still buying merch. Cody's still beloved in the fan base. I think a lot of the ratings is basically what you just assessed. The rest of the show around him is really lacking. They really, really messed up. You know, I'm happy they continued the Bloodline, but why not have, instead of, like you said, picking on Kevin Owens, why not have Solo try to get the title back? Which seems that's what's going on now, but why didn't we do that immediately after all of that happened? So I don't necessarily think it's Cody's fault. I think a lot of it has to do with the show's just not good at this point. It needs a lot of work. And so especially when you come in, you're going into USA, I'm expecting they're going to expect somewhat of the same ratings, and sort of what people don't recognize is USA is not as widely viewed as Fox is. So they're going to lose some of the ratings just because of that, because it's not on every TV. So the booking over there, if I don't know what they're doing different, who's different on the Raw SmackDown booking team. I kind of thought they were the same team, but they're missing the mark somewhere.
Like, I feel like it shouldn't be that hard. I feel like there's certain superstars that they're just not pushing that can help. That can help the ratings and everything. I feel like if you push the Street Profits, well, you should push Montez Ford as a solo guy,
right?
But you, even if you did push the Street Profits, that's two guys that people that the fans love. Like Legado's Phantasma and like the thing that they got going on right now. It's like it just seems like the feud has been going on for too long over nothing, and like they're trying to figure out what they're gonna do with Legado and Andrade and all this other stuff. He's like bickering with the side characters of that story, and the women's picture is all tied up with the women's tag team. Like all the meaningful women's wrestlers on that side are with the tag team titles, and then you got a tag team wrestler who competed for the women's WWE championship, whatever, on the last show. You know, Bayley's good at all, but you know, a little side note, I think Bayley's a better chaser of the title.
Absolutely,
I think she's a better heel. And if you want to make her babyface, she needs to be the like textbook like lovey dovey X's and O's.
Right. So the two versions of Bayley we got before this, the you know, wacky inflatable you know, lovey I'm a hugger Bayley, perfect babyface character for her. Then you get sort of the role model like evil Bayley that was just your textbook heel, and it worked for her. The sort of like in between thing that she's doing right now, where she's obviously a face, but she's not like baby, like super baby face. She sort of feels like a tweener, in my opinion. I think a lot of it has to come in. They're trying this thing with Bayley, where I feel that they think that she can hold that division, and so they can give her, no offense to Piper Niven, but she's nowhere near the quality of what we have on Raw at the moment. I think she can be there, but the storytelling's not there. So I just think SmackDown as a whole needs a lot of work. So
give us more certain wrestlers.
Right, and their lack of the lack of tag division, I mean, even on Raw they've sort of hit it, because the Judgment Day and LWO and all of them fight all the time. So there seems to be some sort of, you know, tag team action there, but their tag division's kind of weak as well outside of, like, in the actual title picture. I like that Miz and Truth are champions, but why they're still champions, you know, this long past Mania makes no sense to me.
You know, like one person who I think would benefit greatly from being drafted to SmackDown in the draft, someone like a Bronson Reed, and just let him run wild over there, grab the U.S. title, go on monster run. Like Bronson Reed could have been putting in work on SmackDown right now.
Right. But with that, we're gonna jump into our Let's Get Cooking segment. This week's prompt is create your way too early SummerSlam cards. We're just going to sort of pass over Money in the Bank and create our SummerSlam card for the beginning of August. So you want to go first? You want me to go first? Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, sure, I'll go first. Okay, so on the Raw side, some matches I'm seeing is you got Drew versus Punk.
Obviously.
I think you get Gunther versus Seth Rollins.
Okay.
You get Damian versus Finn Balor.
Okay.
You get Liv versus Rhea.
Okay.
And I mean, and then maybe Gable and Otis. Yo, so SummerSlam is a big card, but it might be Raw heavy this year. SummerSlam is gonna be a big card. Maybe it's time you put two nights, you know, a year early. Maybe do two nights in Cleveland this summer. I'm just saying.
I don't think they'll do two nights this year. I think they'll start it next year, because it's not supposed to start till 2026. But I think they'll start it next year.
On the SmackDown side, I'm seeing Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton, or if they want, I don't think The Rock's be back in time to do that storyline at SummerSlam, especially in Cleveland. So I'm thinking Cody versus Randy. LA Knight versus Logan Paul. I don't think we do Bianca versus Jade yet. Dude, I don't think we get there yet. And then probably Charlotte Bailey.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the tag team titles on both shows will get their tag team matches like on the Raw after, the Raw before Mania. I mean, the Raw before SummerSlam, SmackDown before SummerSlam. Maybe the SmackDown titles sneak on to SummerSlam. Or actually, no, I think the Raw tag team titles might sneak on because The Miz is a Cleveland guy.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be Raw heavy. I don't think you can do just five matches on the SummerSlam. It's got to be a big
SummerSlam. Oh, no. It's got to be a big card. It's got to be at least eight.
Yeah, I better see a four-hour pay-per-view.
It's better for be 4 hours. For real. I'm fine with that for the big four. If we're not going to do 2 days doing like 4 or 5 hour, you know, cards, I'm fine with that for the big four. I'm looking at my list. I completely forgot Cody Rhodes when I booked. It shows you how much I pay attention to SmackDown. But damn, you said you have him against Randy, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna go down that same path. That's the only thing that feels logical to me right now.
They teased it a little bit at Clash.
Yeah, they teased it a little bit there. I think it's easy that we can probably get like a Cody versus KO at Money in the Bank, since it's in Canada. And then we get a Cody versus Randy at SummerSlam. With Rollins coming back, it makes to me, I'm looking at it, would I want to see Priest versus Gunther or Rollins versus Gunther? And Rollins versus Gunther will be a better match no matter what. Like, and maybe, so
maybe a triple threat match, and you hold off on the Damian versus Finn Balor.
So I don't have Damian versus Finn. I have Damian versus Dom.
Okay.
I know the storyline looks like Damian's sort of upset with Finn, but I think at some point he's going to turn on Dom. I think it makes more sense to have Dom versus Damian at this point. So I have Damian versus Dom. Of course, Drew versus Punk. Rhea versus Liv. That sort of seems common sense. I do have Bayley versus Charlotte as well. Logan versus LA Knight as well. Gable versus Otis as well. Most of this this is what I like about Triple H's booking. Real easy to tell where he's headed because he's 3 months ahead. He's 3 months ahead of everything, so you can just easily tell where he's going. I do have Awesome Truth on here. Whether it's New Day, I have AOP because, you know, I think that would be a decent I think they're going to push the Final Testament, to be honest with you. So AOP, I think this is where they lose the titles. I have Jade versus Bianca happening here.
Okay.
I think that gives you about a month and a half to build a story. I think you can do it in that amount of time. It doesn't have to be super complicated. This could be the start of the feud that ends at WrestleMania. My final match, who did you have the IC title on your card?
No,
I do. I have it in a six-way ladder match. I have Sammy, who comes in as champion, versus Braun Breaker, versus Sheamus, versus Kaiser, versus Dragunov, and I believe they leave this blank on purpose, the sixth member, and that's where we get the return of Ricochet.
Now, the only problem I see with that match is, do you think it's too much to do a multi-man ladder match 1 month after
Money in the Bank? I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
I mean, I like the idea. Right. I just think WWE wouldn't spit out the ladder matches that fast. Like back to back against each other. Right. Especially because a lot of it might be the same participants.
Yeah.
You're already looking at Braun Breaker, who might be in the Money in the Bank match. And then who knows if Chad Gable even makes it. Chad Gable might be dead, but we'll get into that later.
That's true. I just realized I didn't have Jey Uso on this card, and Jey Uso is definitely going to be on this card somewhere. I just have a feel like, what if we get like Cody versus Jey? And that's how Jey sort of gets into the Bloodline story.
Do you think maybe some of these matches might get pushed sooner or pulled sooner into Money in the Bank? Because I feel like we're listing off a lot of matches right now.
Right.
I think some of these might get pulled into Money in the Bank.
Yeah. I mean,
Chad Gable already announced for Money in the Bank. I would say you could do Chad versus Otis at Money in the Bank, but maybe their blow-off might be at a Raw show or something.
I can feel that. I can feel that. Yeah, I feel that. I don't know. I think we're getting at least 8 matches, though. I think Triple H is going to – because I think what's going to end up happening once it goes to 2 days is we'll get 5 on each night. And so he's going to squeeze – I don't think he'll squeeze 10 into one night. I think he'll squeeze in 7 or 8.
No, I know we're pretty far out from the show.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got distracted. So it's a random guy on the TV that I'm not familiar with. We're a little far out, but from the War Games / Survivor Series, where it's gonna go on that show. What do we see as like the feud going into that as far as the women's side of things?
The men's War Game?
Yeah, the men's side we're looking at probably, the Bloodline or whatever. But right. What we're looking at as far as the women's, do you think maybe like
that? So, I think Io Sky said damage control has to change. If not, I'm going to change it myself. I think she's going to come back with some of her Japanese tag team, I believe. Okay. And so I think it's going to be her, Asuka, and 2 other Japanese wrestlers that we don't know off, that she knows from Japan. I don't think Asuka's going to be over there because Kabuki, the other half of Kabuki's over there.
I'm thinking, well, what if we get like Team Bianca versus Team Jay Cargill?
Okay. And so who would be on each team?
I don't know.
Because they all got the same friends. They both got the same friends.
I'm trying to brainstorm on what's the women's thing to be looking like when we get closer to that. I don't know if we're too far out to where Chips doesn't really know yet, or
right,
or maybe he just hasn't laid the groundwork to get there yet, but he has an idea. But I'm like, do we maybe do a brand versus brand women's War Games, or maybe like NXT. Versus the main roster, or NXT versus TNA in a War Games match.
That'd be fun.
Maybe War Games goes back to TNA and goes back to NXT this year.
Yeah, maybe that's the case.
And we get some type of like NXT versus TNA War Games.
That would be fun.
Because I don't think the Bloodline needs War Games. I don't know.
Especially since weren't they in it last year? Or was that 2 years ago?
Year before,
yeah. So I don't think we need another like Civil War type match in that structure. And that's even assuming Roman's coming back anytime soon. I know we hear the rumors. Rock's still filming that movie. That's probably going to take a few more months. So it just depends. There's a lot of stuff that can happen. It seems like on a week to week basis now WWE, but so let's go in. What I want to do the rest of the show is review Clash of the Castle, because there's a lot to talk about there. And because it almost seems overshadowed by Raw with what happened yesterday, but we're going to talk about both shows and then jump into some questions from the Discord. And then we'll call it a night there. We'll end it like we normally do, where we'll play that little game at the end. But so let's talk about Clash at the Castle. What's your overall thoughts on the show?
My overall thoughts were they put the matches in a good order. I feel like there was no other order in which you could really put the matches, especially the big matches.
Right.
Because if you put the Damian versus Drew match first, the tone was going to be off the rest of the show.
Absolutely. I also think the only thing I would have swapped, or that you could have swapped, were the first two matches. I think you could have put Jade and Bianca on first, but everyone always says, you know, if you're not going to go last, go first. And so yeah. Cody versus AJ set the pace very well. Mm. So I didn't hate that order. I thought it was a decent match. I'm not the biggest fan of I Quit matches, to be honest with you. I think it's a weak gimmick. Especially how they ended this one. But I thought they did a decent job.
The problem with I Quit matches is that a babyface never really loses the match unless like some super underhanded tactics.
Right.
It'd be like the, you know, the Rock and McFoley with the playing the sound over the mic, or
right,
or like you threaten that you're gonna hit their like wife or girlfriend in the stands or something.
Right. I mean, it was a good show starter. I'll tell you from the jump, this crowd, I know a lot of people like this crowd better than the France crowd, and I'm just gonna sit here and say I hated both of them.
I like this one better.
It was better. They were still annoying. Everyone knew I was going to complain about this. I mean, all of last year I complained about going overseas. So, the random chanting, I get it. I understand it. It's not for me. But we'll move on. There's some questions in the Discord about Jade, so I'm going to save some of that conversation for then. Mm-hmm. But overall, this match completely surprised me with that result. I did not expect the Unholy Union, is their official name, to win.
I think looking back at it, you probably should have expected it, because I always thought that Punk was going to come out and interfere in the match. I mean,
right.
I didn't see Drew leaving with the title. I was part of the small minority that said Punk was going to cost him the title. Because there's no reason to have Drew versus Gunther at SummerSlam when the match you've been building up to for the last 8 months has been Drew versus Punk.
Right.
So I was in favor of that. And then I mean, I was on the side of saying Piper was going to win. So that's why I didn't think the Witches were going to win, the Unholy Union, or whatever the name is. You said Unholy
Yeah, Union. I like the Witches better. I feel like that's a better name than Unholy Union, but
yeah. So I had Piper winning. That's the only reason I didn't have the Witches winning. But right. I mean, if you're not got Piper winning, that makes sense to have the Witches win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm happy for them. That's a good match. I think a lot of people are upset that Jade and Bianca lost the titles, but let's just be honest. This was never going to be long term.
Yeah.
Even with what we're going to talk about later with some of the Jade's little slip ups, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Even with that happening, had that not happened, it's still time to let go of the titles. Like, they didn't need them.
Yeah.
And like you said, it really just put a lot of the big stars on that roster in the tag division, and it just wasn't needed. The next match was Sammy, right? Sammy and Chad? Yeah.
Yes.
I kind of expected Otis to turn during this match.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Sammy still... I completely forgot how Sammy won. Chad... that's right. Chad got pushed into
Maxine.
Yeah. And then
he picked her up and walked away.
Yeah.
And then he went back in the ring and got Luva kicked.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sammy ends up retaining... Which completely just, again, I think everyone expected Chad to win. I'm not upset with it, especially with what we got yesterday, with how that story progressed. We move on to Piper. Or go ahead.
I was upset because I feel like the Otis turned on him on Monday or whatever, but. Looking back, Otis should have turned on him at Clash of the Castle.
At Clash, absolutely. I think that's when the turn should have happened.
It lost a lot of its pop. I mean, you know, granted, it still popped at Raw, but, like, they were in Corpus Christi, Texas, or whatever. So, like, that's one of the biggest markets for WWE right now, one of the biggest fan bases. So, of course, they're going to pop, but I feel like it would have been more impactful if Otis popped at the PLE. I mean, if he turned at the PLE, and then that resorted in Chad losing. not just him like walking away. That's not
right.
Turning on him.
But
even Chad going over, Chad should have went over at Clash.
Right. Even if a turn didn't happen, Chad should have at least won the title, I thought. Which could have led to, you know, instead of, like, I even saw something where, like, okay, what if Otis, conflicted turns on Sammy, costs him the belt, and then Monday he turns on Chad after Chad doesn't give him credit for helping win the title or whatever.
Yeah, like Batista's Triple H storyline.
Right. And so, yeah, that decision didn't sit okay. I mean, it was all right. We move on to Piper versus Bailey, which was a really good match. If you take away everything else, the match itself was really good. Chelsea Green, perfect addition with adding the mask. I forgot, was it Kara that said she didn't like her outfit? Her outfit.
Yeah.
Kara, what are you talking about? Her outfit was great.
Her outfit was fire. That's the reason she made it so far. And that's one of the reasons she made it so far in the Thursday brackets. Okay, Kara?
Right.
Chelsea Green is fine.
Literally. But and I hope that plays into either Piper and Chelsea splitting or some sort of storyline with it. I don't know where they go with it. Like I said, like Bailey doesn't really have much to go for her because there's not a lot of opponents for her to face right now until Charlotte gets back.
She do got Tiffany Stratton, but Tiffany might be winning money in the bank.
It's Tiffy and what, Davenport? And that's about it. So that's why I was kind of
Nia Jax.
Nia. I don't know why they haven't pulled that plug yet. That would be pretty good at Money in the Bank. Nia versus
That could be what's coming up next. Yeah, because Nia won Queen of the Ring. Oh, no. Nia gets the title match at SummerSlam.
You're right. Nia did.
We forgot all about that.
I completely forgot all about that. So Nia's going to face Bayley. Okay. So we got to go back to that last segment and scratch out Charlotte. Charlotte will go somewhere. She's not going to have a match. So
does Charlotte return at SummerSlam? Like after the match, walks out on stage and is like, you know, I'm your next challenger.
I mean, that could be it. That could be it. Again, maybe Charlotte versus Tiffany could. Maybe Charlotte gets into the. But I've always thought Charlotte versus Tiffany was a Mania type match, especially with. Well, Mania's not in Minneapolis no more because that's where Tiffy's from. It's in Vegas next year, so never mind. We can scratch that off the ticket. But it still, I mean, she fits the Vegas vibe. Being at Mania, her and Charlotte would be a big time match. So, I mean, just depends on what you want to do there. Do you start the Nia versus Bailey feud now?
I mean, you kind of because. I assume I don't know who Bailey faces if she has a match at Money in the Bank.
I have a feeling she won't because Liv didn't have one this month or at Clash. So I think Liv will have hers against Selena at Money in the Bank, and Bailey will have off.
And then you do Bailey versus Nia at SummerSlam.
Yeah. And then, of course, our main event, which again, very good match. Damian Priest about lost a leg.
He sold it
the hell out of that. Like, so I think you were there saying that you thought it was just hyperextended, not broken. A lot of people kind of over-exaggerated. I'm sure it hurt. I mean, that's actual rope. It's not like stretchy stuff. Like
it's cable.
Right. WWE actually uses the like bull rope, like what they use at like rodeos and stuff.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, so AEW uses, and that's why what I was going to mention with Jade. AEW uses the cable that they wrap, and that's why they can springboard better and not slip because it's built for to be like springy.
Yeah.
Whereas like the bull rope that WWE uses isn't meant to springboard off of. And so that's a whole different part. We'll get to that in a minute. But Damian. Was he trying to go over the rope? I don't actually remember the move.
The move he does, it's similar to what Zoe Stark does, but like without all that 360 nonsense.
Right.
So Damian, he approaches the rope, you know, for our YouTube viewers. I'm trying to figure out how to do it on the screen. All right, cool. So he approaches the rope, and he steps on the middle rope,
right.
Puts his other foot on the top, and then flips over.
Right.
So he does a step, and then he's, another step, and then flips.
Okay. So just to give a little, a pre-taste of what when we answer this question about Jade, that I think it was B-Master asked. These big motherfuckers need to stay out the ropes. That's what I'll just put it off of. But no, because people are gonna say the same thing. Because Braun did the same thing on Monday, where he went up top and he slipped. This shit happens. Like I know we can call it a botch. It is a botch by definition, but this shit happens. And so you know, I was gonna come in here prepared to roast Jade Cargill, but then it happened to Damian. Then it happened to Braun. I don't know if it's the ropes. I know there was that video of the ref showing AJ that they were loose.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they just don't tighten them all the way anymore, or if it's just super sweaty or whatever. I don't know.
Because you've been to a lot of indie shows. I've been to indie shows too. Like between every match, you see the ring crew going over there and like tightening the ropes.
A lot of times at some indie shows, they'll, you know, sweep the ring out, get the dirt off the mat and everything in between matches. WWE really, I mean, a lot of times they have, you know, four or five canvases and they just take one off in between matches at WWE. But I don't know if it's just loose ropes or if it's just, maybe it's the tape they're using or whatever. It's just super sweaty. The point of the matter is this is an athletic event. Shit like this is going to happen. Mm. And so I would rather Bron Breakker go to the top rope, slip. Now Bron Breakker's to me is worse because he almost killed himself.
Yeah.
Jade sort of slipped, but played it off well. And commentary's gotten very good. Especially Corey Graves at covering for mistakes.
Yeah.
Talking about, oh, you know, she slipped. That's why it's called high risk. This, that, and the third. I think there's a bigger fumble that Jade made that we'll talk about in a little bit. So let's move on to Raw. So we end there. Well, we got to bring up CM Punk. we can't forget about him.
I will give WWE some credit. They have some, I knew it was CM Punk just because I called it from
right. before. So but when
the camera work was really good.
Right. So when the other ref went down and then Drew waved for a new ref and you saw one running, I think anyone who's watched wrestling long enough knew this was CM Punk. I could tell, even with the camera work, just from the shoes.
Yeah.
He was wearing Nikes. I would have had him wear, like, the black ref shoes. It would have hided it a little bit better. But CM Punk is a fucking menace. And I know everyone's pissed off that Drew didn't win. And I kind of, you know, I was of the camp that there's no way they screw him over twice in a row. I'm fucking happy they did. This is about to be the best. This is about to be the best feud of the year.
I was telling y'all this. I told y'all.
Screw
him over. That's all. Right. Every time. Screw Drew over.
This right. And so Punk coming in, and then Punk just nonchalantly bringing donuts to the presser. First off, if WWE invite us to the pressers, if you're going to hand out donuts, no one else took one. Like, damn.
I've been like, yeah, good looks, my G.
For sure. what's funny is, I don't think a lot of people recognize this about this storyline. I 100% believe this is somewhat, in a way, while it's fire in itself, there's a lot of connection to me about how CM Punk left AEW, that they're sort of, I can see, like, correlation where, like, McIntyre is supposed to be Jack Perry because Jack Perry, you know, got mad that Punk didn't get fined, but he did. And that's sort of why Drew quit last night. He got fined, but Punk didn't. I will say
for the post-match stuff.
Yeah. Well, no. So I think they're sort of poking fun at AEW through this feud just a little bit. I think Drew McIntyre's character is very similar to what Jack Perry's playing right now.
No, I missed the part where what did Drew get fined for? I missed that part.
Yeah, so I don't know if you saw he like put his hands on a ref and pushed a ref and pushed.
Oh yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, that stuff. So he technically got fined for that. And you know, Wade Barrett went on that rant about how CM Punk should be fired. He's a danger to the locker room. Mm. Blah blah blah. They're definitely throwing small shots at AEW with this feud. I'm all for it.
I love tribalism.
I feel it. The tribalism makes everything better. We said that last year when we did that little thing with James and Cody. Now we can move over to Raw, where we start the show. And did Damian start it or did
Damian? No,
Seth Rollins. Seth coming back started the show. I wasn't quite certain. So Seth Rollins is back.
Yeah, it was out of nowhere.
This is completely out of nowhere. And here's the thing: not a single dirt sheet knew this was going to happen.
Mm.
Amazing what can happen when dirt sheets aren't trying to ruin everything. Not a single dirt sheet knew this would happen. Seth Rollins is back. He looks good. He's not dressing like Becky Lynch anymore. Bro came out looking like a pimp. And he gets a match against Priest. I kind of expected that this was going to be their turn for Money in the Bank. There's not much for Priest to do. And, you know, if Rollins is healthy, why not? And then what was the next segment? No, Drew was in the middle of the show. What was next? The next match or next segment was, I don't even know. I know we had the qualifiers with EO, Kiana James, and Zelina.
Sam, I'm a little off right now because I was flipping back and forth between
and the Celtics game. You were watching the Celtics last night, which completely justified. So EO wins and gets another opportunity at Money in the Bank, even though she won last year. This is the kind of stuff that irritates me. We need new faces every year. We don't need the same people in Money in the Bank every year. I thought Kiana James should have won. But Zelina loses the match because Liv Morgan came out and distracted her, setting up the match at Money in the Bank. Not a lot happened. I'll be honest, Raw was really, really good.
It progressed more stories than in-ring action.
Right. So it progressed a lot of stories, which is what was needed. And I know a lot of people complained about the commercials. Like, there were commercial breaks like every 5 minutes, it felt like. But you had to do that so that you got the last 5 minutes commercial free. You had to do it that way.
You had the Braun Strowman and Chad Gable segment. They had a match, which resorted to Otis turning on him. That was early in the show.
Right. Bron Breakker came out and talked to Sammy.
And then Sheamus came out.
That set up a match, which was
Then Kaiser came out.
Kaiser. I mean, that was a banger match.
That
spear. Okay, so I'm going to say, tell me if you agree with me. Bron Breakker has the best spear in wrestling right now.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
He doesn't do that dumb
flip.
Yeah, that dumb flippy thing that they do. Like Moose does it, Lashley does it.
I think Charlotte does the flip at the end of the spear. Roman's is pretty close. Braun just fucking destroys people though.
This dude just
runs right through him.
And the timing he did to catch up to Kaiser, who had the head start.
That whole just camera shot was fucking cool. Where they like you saw Kaiser running and then Braun chasing right after him. That was, you know, it was a wide angle. That was pretty cool. So for the most part, you know, of course you got Jey Uso winning his way in the money. Let's just be honest. He's winning this whole fucking thing. You know, maybe not. It depends if this dude gets murked, at any time leading up to Money in the Bank.
You had more Liv Morgan and Judgment Day business going on.
Yeah.
You had Finn Balor got confronted by Priest about the
card. And then Dom gets confronted by Priest because him and Liv are, you know, he's trying to take the little vest off of Liv.
He's trying to take his vest back.
I mean,
look. Now is it just me or I think it'll be a lot better if like Liv was just like, yeah, just like a bra. Like,
absolutely, without a doubt, it would have been more. It would have been more scandalous if she just had like a crop top, like lace or like a crop top or something.
Well, because she was wearing like a sports cutoff. That's what she was wearing.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it'd be crazy if Dom started to pull it down and then she was like, "I whatever," and then Dom was like,
"Right." I would have had it been a little bit more where like he was pulling down the zipper, and she. She was a little bit more exposed, and that's when Damian called him.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to get completely attitude error with it, but I mean, you had this girl straddling him last week. You couldn't show a little bit more? Like,
We got Carlito stealing a win over Dragon Lee.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if he questioned his decision to come to WWE because both his brothers are in AEW.
Dragon Lee was on NXT, he's on NXT tonight. He was part of the Battle Royal.
Yeah, man.
Lyra and Kayden Carter and Katana Chance, they defeated Damage Control.
Yeah, we got to talk about that one. We got to stop having Dakota take the L's in these matches.
Well, I mean, hey, I'm just saying.
Like, Trips, we got to talk about this. You had Kiana lose. You had Dakota take an L. Like, we got some issues I have.
Well, then, you know, so we're moving into possibly a split for Damage Control.
Absolutely, yeah.
So,
yeah.
What do you think kind of goes on with that? What are you looking forward to, or what do you see in the future for that?
I guess a little bit earlier. I think EO comes back with some of her Japanese friends. As sort of like, I don't know if they'll sign with WWE, but I think. As sort of like cross promotion, I think she sort of splits from the group,
and especially like with all that Noah and Marigold stuff going on.
Yeah, and I think that's what sort of because initially I was going to say Julia, but she's coming the same week. She's coming Money in the Bank weekend at NXT on Heat Wave. I think she's gonna show up to challenge Roxanne.
Is it what's it called? Is it EO the one who's gonna be wrestling at Noah or Marigold?
Yeah, she's the one fighting in that promotion. That's the same night AJ's fighting, right? Same show.
Are they the same shows or different shows? Because isn't one of them going to Noah and the other one's going to?
Marigold? I don't know. And probably I don't even know.
This is the most.
They be doing too much.
The Kofi and Woods storyline is going to push a little more. Karrion Kross challenged them to a match, and then Kofi took it without even talking to Xavier. And you can see Xavier look a little disgusted in the background that he didn't even scare him for the match.
Right.
Can't wait for that.
That turn where an Xavier turns on Kofi is going to be perfect.
Just imagine the video packages that you get from that. All the memories they had, like over a decade of memories.
Right. It's 10 years in the making for this shit. And how they involve Big E in this, they should definitely involve Big E in the storyline. Then he doesn't have to get physical, but he should be like some sort of intermediary to try to bring them back together. But it doesn't work. Like, I don't know. Big E should be utilized more than how he is. He's better than just hosting these PLEs.
Him and Punk are money though when they talk, they are.
I mean, Raw in itself, very good show. I thought it was very good showing. But I mean, let's just be honest. Everyone's talking about one thing.
What?
And that's the Wyatt Six.
Ah.
Yeah. All the controversy that has come out of this. Not really controversy. Everyone's sort of happy for it. So I guess I'll ask, first off, have you seen the whole thing? I know you were watching the Celtics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I caught the whole thing.
You seen the whole thing?
I went back and watched a second time, too.
I've seen it like four times.
It was happening during, like, the last, like, minute 37 And I'm trying to watch in the front of buzzer, watch Tatum throw the ball in the air. It's right. Going back and forth. But they managed to finish it just before the time ran out for the Celtics. They managed to like blow the flame light out and not turn over. There was like 15 seconds left. Right. I was able to watch the last 15.
Right. I've seen this maybe 5 times. Because I'm trying to confirm these names that the IWC is throwing out here of who got murked. I can't confirm anyone, but Gable. That's the only one I can definitely.
Isn't that Braun Strowman right before he walks in the room where Gable is? He's in gorilla, but off to the right.
I can't make out anybody, to be honest with you. So my issue with dark, this is just for all TV, because a lot of TV shows like to have these dark sets to add to suspense. I can't see that shit. I kind of think the intended purpose was only for us to see Gable. But you know how the IWC is. They want to try to figure out everything.
The first pile of bodies, I'm pretty sure, was just security guards. They try to say that was Carmelo Hayes. I'm like, why is Carmelo Hayes that wrong? He's a SmackDown star.
Well, that's the biggest thing. And second, because they said it was Carmelo and Gunther on top of each other. If they wanted me to see Gunther Merc, they would have shown me Gunther. They wouldn't have tried to hide that one. And so I don't think any of them were super important. I think one's definitely Triple H though, which is interesting.
Well, yeah, it's either Triple H or
Pritchard. Strowman.
Strowman, when they were in the gorilla room. There's one of them where the guy has no shirt on, he's hella buff and has a tattoo on his arm. I'm pretty sure that's Braun
Strowman. It's probably Strowman then.
Yeah, you got bearded bald head.
I mean, it would make sense that Strowman and them got murked because they literally just left the screen and ran in the direction that Eric Rowan was sitting in.
Yeah.
So it would have made sense if one of them or all of them would have been hit. So I guess my next question then is the segment itself was perfect.
Yeah, cinema.
If this was just by itself, there's no complaints. Because I think a lot of people misunderstand my viewpoint on this. I don't hate the segment. The segment was perfect. I don't think there was a better way to debut the team. For lack of a better term, they blew the load. I don't think there's much more, in terms of, this is the worst that you can get. You just murdered people on live TV. This whole they just beat them up. No, they got, they're dead. I don't think there's any way to get around their dead part of this.
I mean, I do think they just got beat up bad. I don't think they're dead. I don't think they they're trying to say Gable got popped in the head. No, I think he got hit upside the head with a hammer. That's what I think happened. I don't think he got shot in the head.
I don't think he got shot, but obviously you've never been hit blunt force trauma by a mallet, but that shit kills people. I don't know. I can't imagine the type of wreckage, the dude in that had it looked sort of like Bruce Pritchard. I can't say for certain. A lot of people said it looked like Dragunov as well, but it's definitely not Dragunov because the dude had braids. So it was when they were in Gorilla, the one that had his brains on the wall, basically dude got my whole. So again, I don't really think the point of it was to figure out who got hit and who didn't. My viewpoint is, and then I will let you respond to it, is the title of this. Okay, they're here, but now what are we going to do? And I posted something similar to that on Twitter and Facebook and reshared it to the screenshot of it to TikTok. And everyone doesn't seem to understand what I mean by that. I'm not saying I hated the segment. I'm not saying that I think this is definitely going to fail. I just knowing the history of this, that the Fiend didn't really get over the way it should have. Nothing really progressed with the Fiend story. Now, a lot of that was Vince's fault, and I'll hold that there. But the last time Bray came back, Trips was in charge, if I remember correctly. And he spent 6 months doing QR codes. He spent the next six months after that doing promos. And then we finally get one match out of him. And of course I get that he was sick and everything and all of that, but we really didn't get any answers to the questions that they were presenting us with. My fear is they do the same thing here. I also, my big point is that the whole show up to this point is based in some form of reality. This just sort of sticks out. And if this was the 90s, because everyone wants to compare it to Undertaker and all of that shit. If this was the 90s, it works. Because nothing in the 90s really was based in a form of like realism. Whereas like everything was super gimmicky, everything was super, you know, out of this world. You know, you had like Mantar and all of that shit at that time as well. Things are a little bit different now. They're sort of presenting this in a sports way where, you know, I don't know. I just feel like this sort of sticks out. Not that that's a bad thing. I don't know how this plays out. And of course, everyone's response should be, well, just watch it, which I will. But if this thing drags on, if this takes 6 more months before we see him in the ring, I'm out of it. I mean, I'll give you 3 months if that, but I just don't know where you go from here, because everyone just sort of, you know, and I hate to say it this way, but I feel like the response from this is solely because it's Bray Wyatt's idea and we're living in sort of a nostalgia of Bray Wyatt.
Are you right?
So what's your thoughts on it?
I mean, yeah, I was part of the crowd where I didn't really want any of the Wyatt nonsense. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's Bray's idea. Bray passed. Let it rest with Bray. You know, Bo is trying to, you know, bring his idea to life. And my thing is, you know, like you were saying, WWE is kind of like in a realistic world right now. We're not doing all these over the top gimmicks. And, you know, I know the reports are saying that, you know, they're going to lean towards a less supernatural take on stuff. I mean, that seemed a little supernatural-esque. I mean, I know it's, you know, it's theater, right? At the end of the day, wrestling is theater.
Right.
And, but it's like, you know, we saw pictures on flowing on Twitter, like, during the course of that triple threat match. They set up, like, their entrance and, you know, They set that doorway or that entrance with the leaves or whatever, you know, at the top of the stage.
Right.
And whatnot. So, you know, you have to you have to forget real life and, you know, just focus on watching a TV show to enjoy it. Because if you overthink, like, the realistic part, you're going to poke a lot of holes in this shit. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the whole Bray stuff. I wish they did it even more in a realistic way, less supernatural.
Right. Yeah,
because you can look at it as, you know, some, like a cult, like, you know, that's into all this horror stuff and like all these masks or whatever. Like I think it'd be even, like, even better if you took, like, even more realistic approach. And you ever seen the movie Strangers? Mm-hmm. Or whatever, where it's like, you know, like they haunt the house, or like they're trying to invade the house, and they have like just those plain like no face masks on. They're trying to get to the house, whatever. I feel like if it was like over the top with all these like super creative masks, and it was just kind of like more realistic, almost like, well, I know WWE got kind of in trouble for this in the past because of the home invasion stuff that was happened in Cheshire in Connecticut, you mm-hmm. know. Back in like the mid 2000s, it was like Cheshire home invasion, and then like a few weeks later on TV, Triple H did the home invasion angle with Randy Orton,
right?
A lot of backlash for that, but like that right there, the Triple H and Randy Orton thing is something along those lines, if you kind of brought that from a realism to the Wyatt Six stuff, as far as like we're not just gonna be like these like comic book horror guys, but more like realistic horror guys.
Right.
Not like Retribution, but
right, right. Yeah, I just, for me, I don't know where you go from here, right? Because there's a reason why I say they blew their load here. Like, I would have loved if this was just throughout the night for several weeks, we see like a puppet or two like behind someone in the background, and then someone gets attacked
and bludgeoned.
Right. And someone gets attacked in the locker room, or something like that. But to do everything at one time. And then I guess for me, like, all this happens backstage in the middle of a match is going on, and not one single like person. Camera. Not one single camera's there to catch this. Like, so my biggest thing is that there's a theory going on now that what was presented to us was like a dream, and none of it's actually real. And this is just going on inside the mind of Uncle Howdy. The problem with that, I think, is two things. One, I just, that's too far out there for the casual fan to care about.
And just a dumb idea.
It's a dumb idea. But two, Jey Uso saw it happen because he was on Raw, one of the digital interviews backstage, saying, "Hey man, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't want to get murked next." But my biggest thing is, if that was just a dream, so if it's not a dream, because I'm assuming that it's not. So my next question is this. Chad Gable's supposed to wrestle next week to get into the Money in the Bank match. If this dude does not walk out with some sort of head wrap or something to show that he just got attacked at the end of the last episode, this whole thing's over for me. You just, you don't take yourself serious.
Like, so, next week on Raw, I better see, like, you know, the first shot of Monday Night Raw after the Now Forever shit, whatever.
Right.
That Now Forever. The first thing we should see is Adam Pearce walking into the arena with armed SWAT. All right? Like, that's what we should be seeing. So we should be seeing armed security guards escorting wrestlers from the parking lot to the arena.
Right. Like, they should be backstage with all the security. All, you know, they're not going to show the guns on TV, but you know, that you should see security, like you said, transporting superstars. Every single entrance during a match, we should have security guards sort of like transporting people to the ring, like it's
all, Goldberg. All the lights on backstage, even Gorilla, every fucking light on.
Right, every single light on. But to be honest, to start the show has to be Uncle Howdy. If Uncle Howdy doesn't start the show, I'll be a little bit disappointed. He needs to start Monday night explaining what the fuck he did. And they got to move fast with this. They can't just draw this out cryptically like Bray Wyatt used to do. They have to be like, we're here. This is why we did it. Here's who we are. They don't have to. I don't necessarily want to see them immediately wrestle. They don't have to go after Cody and get a title opportunity. Like, because I've had people say that to me. Like, oh, this dude just wants him immediately. I've never said that. My problem is it took Bray Wyatt almost 8 months before he got in the ring after he debuted. This can't do that, or people will lose interest really quick. And so I'm just not sold yet until you can show me that you have something more than just promos for me.
Also, I don't see these wrestlers wrestling a standard wrestling match. Like you're telling me Nikki Cross or Dexter Lumis are going to get in the ring in their costume and wrestle a standard 1-2-3 wrestling match. Like, no.
Well, that's what I think. I don't think they show up in the costume every week. There's no way they do that. I think because the costume has always been in the Bray Wyatt lore, has always been like a representation. Like, so the idea is that they're schizophrenic. So first off, this whole gimmick is too complicated to put on TV. And so I that's the first issue. Like, to put it in a way that a child would understand it in the medium of wrestling is super difficult to begin with. So, but like, the characters are supposed to represent the characters, but like the superstars, but it's not always them. So like, Bray always showed up. Like, there was Bray Wyatt, and then there was Fiend Bray Wyatt. I also don't expect Eric Redbeard to have that heavy ass bunny costume on every single week. That thing look uncomfortable as shit.
I'm gonna say if I'm a wrestler, opposing wrestler, and I'm in a match with one of these guys, I'm walking out and taking the 10 count right away.
At this point, I think the smartest person of the night is Drew McIntyre. That dude got the fuck out of there as soon as he possibly could.
Oh yeah, we didn't touch that too much, but
we didn't. Well, we didn't, because I feel like that's the biggest moment of the night. Let's just be honest. Mm. And this whole thing overshadowed it. Drew McIntyre quit on live TV, and in kayfabe, this dude's gone. Do you think this is like a quick thing where he shows, because everyone thinks he shows up Friday? I don't. I think this is like long term, like he's gone.
I mean, if he's supposed to be up CM Punk, yeah, go for it. But if he's just like truly just fed up and wants to sell, then he's right. Fed up. Yeah, he's gone until Money in the Bank. Maybe CM Punk gets himself into the Money in the Bank match.
It depends on when Punk is clear, because I don't know when. I think Punk's already cleared. I think they're just playing it up, because I don't think they have him run out there and do the ref spot if he's not cleared. Mm. We do have to talk about this. Drew, you put your hands on what was technically an official in CM Punk as well. So
yeah, he all he did was defend himself.
Right. But I just, on this whole CM Punk thing, they showed the video of how he got the shirt, and they really made Ref Jess look pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I just, especially with what happened earlier in the night, because she was the ref in the Jade match and she completely missed a tap out. I feel like they really made her look really incompetent. And so,
what I think they should have done, if they want to go along those lines, is like, maybe he's saying hi to her in the back or whatever. Homegirl's already changed out of her referee shirt. And he like takes her duffel bag and like it runs away with it.
Well, I like the way they did it. But I think what they should have done is to sort of play into more of the realism of the, hey, we care about the competency of our referees. We care that they're catching everything. I don't think there's a reason why they can't suspend referees if they miss a call or whatever and make it into a storyline. Okay. Or even have it to where, like, CM Punk's, like, paying Ref Jess off under the table. Mm. And, like, she's always getting CM Punk's matches. And she's sort of, like, you know, slow counting for him or whatever. That just another way to screw Drew over. I don't know. I feel like they're including these referees more in stories. And I kind of like it. There's a lot of creative ways you can use that. I don't know, but so I think we'll dive into these questions here. I know Witter's asked a couple and B-Master asked some as well. So we'll start with the first one. From B-Master, is Jey Uso all hype? Yes and no. I think he's all hype in that I've already addressed this kind of. He's an entrance, but once the bell rings, he's sort of a one-trick pony. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but I really have a feeling that, mid-card is the best that he can really get. I don't see him as a world champion as much as they're going to try to push him in that picture. I just don't see it that way. So what do you think? Is Jey Uso all hype?
I definitely think Jey needs a better five moves of doom if we want to, put him into like the style pictures like a John Cena or Randy Orton. You know what I'm saying? we know John and Randy Orton, they weren't like the, you know, the craziest in-ring workers. You know, of course, you know, they did everything pretty well and they were good hands and they put on good matches. But no, none of them were like were Ricochet or JD McDonagh, who could bust out, like, you know what I'm saying, 450 Canadian Destroyers off the top rope. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know, they're not like these over-the-top rope guys. But John Cena had five moves that he did really well. Other than that, he was, you know, he connected with the fans, great entrance, promo, charismatic. Jey Uso, he can talk on the mic better than most wrestlers. Great entrance, connects with the fans. Just give him a good 5 to 7 moves that he can do on a consistent match-to-match basis. Learn the super kicks and Samoan drops, you know what I'm saying? Give him like a side Usy leg sweep, you know what I'm saying? Give him like a running yeet dog. Like,
right.
Be funny with it. Be creative with it. And, you know, give him like a few more moves to work with. You know what I'm saying? Not everything has to be a punch, a super kick, and a Samoan drop. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I do think Jey Uso is hyped up right now, where, you know, he deserves it. You know, he did a lot of great character work over the last 2 or 3 years, or, you know, 3 or 4 years, whatever. And so he deserves, you know, to eat, you know, say to eat right now and get, you know, some attention. But he definitely got to add some more movesets to his match.
Yeah, for sure. His next question, why is everyone so obsessed with Jade and her not-so-good performance this past weekend? You got to be careful with how you word these. The Jade stands are going to come after you, B-Master. So let's just be honest. Jade botched a lot. Yeah. Not really. But so like I said earlier, the biggest concern to me is the tap out. You just can't do that. I'm sorry. I mean, I know I'm not a wrestler and I've never been in there. And I'm sure Shayna Baszler maybe surprised her. Maybe we're squeezing harder than she thought it was. I mean,
they did address it on Raw.
They did. And they did turn it into a story, which I'm sure I'm glad they did. It shouldn't have happened. Now, like I said earlier with the top row or her springboard botch, part of me wanted to rip into her about, hey, you're too big to do this. And I still kind of feel that way. She didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think that move was necessary. She could have easily done the hot tag with Bianca, got in the ring normally, took out whoever it was running towards her, go and run off the ropes, take out the other team, scream and pose and flex toward the crowd, and yeah, would have gotten a better result than anything the springboard would have done. I think a lot of these people, and that to me, that feels like the AEW in her coming out, where they always have to try to one-up each other and outperform what the crowd really, I mean, the crowd would have reacted either way. And so I think you got to simplify some of these things. She, especially with her sort of gimmick being sort of like a presence, she's muscular as fuck. She doesn't need to be doing these high risk shit. In fact, mm-hmm, I think it would be more appealing if she didn't do it. So I don't know. What's your take on Jade here?
I mean, so she's been doing the what's it called, the springboard, it was a clothesline or a crossbody, what she usually do off the top, a crossbody?
Yeah, I think it was trying to be a crossbody.
She usually does it. She hits it. It's the first time she messed up on it on TV. But I do think, as far as her size and character, that would be better. Maybe she's like, you know, she jumps over the top rope, gets in the ring, and maybe does like a spinning clothesline, something like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think she has to be a, you know,
even if she wanted to do some sort of like high risk thing, make the tag, climb up to the top rope, balance yourself, and you could still do like a crossbody that way.
Well, she's trying to turn it into, like, you know, every wrestler kind of has like their sequence, like, right, like off a hot tag, off,
right,
a comeback. She's trying to like kind of make that her thing, and I feel like something that she could do a lot more consistently and safer is just hop over the top rope, you know, like a cruiserweight, you know, just jump over the rope like these guys do, and just do it like a spinning clothesline, and then your next one is the big boot that she loves to hit, and
right,
You know what I'm saying? I think she needs something a little more simple that she can do consistently, no problem.
Right. And the word you said there, simple. Some people make wrestling too complicated. Simplify it. And I'm not in the camp of, oh, she's the worst thing ever. She needs to go back to the performance center. I'm not there yet. I think she's fine. I think she had two bad moments. That doesn't negate the fact that she's been pretty consistent in the ring. But I think a lot of it is why people are critiquing her. For one, is it's the AEW fans that want her not to succeed. And two, I think people are, WWE's really put her in a position where there's high expectations for her to succeed, which I think is unfair. I think they put her in a place too quickly where I don't think she's completely ready yet. I also think for me, it all comes down to, like, I know you're trying to make something like your own and have your own little sequence, but I don't see how, like, for me personally, like, with her size and her appearance, her physique, a hot tag where she slowly enters the ring like she's hot shit and just clothesline, go off the ropes, big boot, like you said, something real simple but still looks really good, and you perfect something like that. You know, keep it simple. I think it makes you look better. Some of these high risk stuff, it just isn't necessary. Sort of like, you know, I like Bronson Reed, but this dude needs to say, I like the tsunami, I do, but this dude scares me every time he crawls up onto the top rope. Him and Ivar, they scare me up there sometimes, because Ivar be thinking he's 100 pounds. let's see. Next question.
B-Master,
would you like pro wrestling more or less if you didn't know the outcome of every match? I'll let you go first.
I don't know. Well, so I don't think we know the outcome of every match.
Right, so that's what I wanted to clarify. Like, I don't really know the outcome. I sort of just...
We use our, you know, correct, what is it called? Use context clues.
Right.
We use, like, prediction, you know, our prediction methods, you know, history repeats itself. You know, say you learn from your past and you kind of see patterns in the booking. You know, if I watched wrestling like I used to, like when I was in high school, like late in high school, early in college, I got to the point where I was just watching maybe like just pay-per-views.
Right.
Maybe like five pay-per-views a year on the network. So I wasn't watching any of the weekly TV. I was just watching the pay-per-views. I watched the little video package beforehand, and going into the match, I had no idea who's going to win the match.
Right.
I wasn't watching the weekly booking. So at that point, I do think I was maybe enjoying the matches a little bit more. And just from, like, the unpredictability part. But now that I know, like, okay, we're headed in a certain story direction, and to get there, this guy has to win,
right,
most likely, so that way we can get a certain outcome. That way we get the certain story point.
Right.
So, you know, there's fun ways to look at it from both perspectives.
From both. So... I was sort of the opposite of you when I was first starting, right, when I was a kid. I would never watch the pay-per-views because we can never afford them.
Oh, same.
So I would just watch the weekly shit and then just completely miss the pay-per-views. And then even middle school, high school, I really didn't watch a lot of wrestling, to be honest with you. I feel like not knowing the outcomes, like you said, there's a fun way to watch it there. It makes the matches a little bit more entertaining, but I also think, I don't actually think like I didn't know who was going to win what. I kind of had an assumption of who was going to win what. I think the way I watch wrestling now, I enjoy it more because because it's fun just to see if hey, is my prediction right? I have this opinion on how they should book this. I want to follow along to see if they do it that way. You know, watching the Bloodline over the last 4 years, you know, I tried to predict where that was going, and I was always wrong, but it was fun to watch because they would always come up with something completely I didn't think of. And so just I have fun watching wrestling. I don't know about you, but I know I have this theory, especially with WWE. If you've watched it long enough, you can sort of predict where we're headed, especially with Triple H's booking. Vince McMahon got a little confusing because he would pitch an idea, then change it the next week. But Triple H, I feel like he's, like I said, 3 months ahead of us. And he has a vision, and I feel like he's laying out the plot points for us to follow. It's sort of like people who complain about like movie spoilers. I've never really understood why people complained about it. You can spoil any movie you want to me for two reasons. One, I'll probably forget before I watch the movie. And two, it's still not going to change the way I watch the movie. So I may know what happens, but there's still me participating and watching it happen. That's what I think is the fun part for me.
I do think when I was a kid, I was more excited for the wrestling portions of the show.
Right.
But now that I'm older, I like the promos and the story. When I was a kid, I was like, oh my gosh, man, we're talking for like 10 minutes. Can he get on with it?
Right.
I want to see Super Crazy versus Jimmy Wang Yang.
Like, right. I'm
ready for that match. And the match comes on, and it's freaking 2 minutes long. And I'm like, but to me, those 2 minutes felt like such a great, enjoyable match.
Right. Especially with like wrestling when we were a kid, like, even like the smaller promotion, like TNA had the what was it, the Ultimate X match?
Yeah,
those shits were crazy. And that those were some of like I was rewatching Bound for Glory when they were here in Charlotte over the weekend. Yeah, found myself in the crowd, a front row, everything, and just rewatching like their Ultimate X match. There, I didn't know a single person in that match outside of TJP. Actually, I lied. DJZ was in it, which is now Joaquin Wild in LWO. He's come a long way. That match was fucking great. That Ultimate X idea, WWE needs to bring that back.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I felt like Rey Mysterio could win every match he was in.
Right.
I was like, Rey, just do this and just kick him there, and you could win this match. And now I'm like, okay. Well, Ray is doing this with LWO, and for him to get to a storyline with Dominic, he needs to lose here. And
right.
Now I'm just not. Now I'm thinking about it. Thinking about the promos.
Well, that, and I think a lot of it is, as a child, you don't have the ability to think logically about how things work. You just sort of want things to be a certain way, and you have your favorites, and you sort of just watch it for that.
Yeah, and at the time, my uncle, we would try to predict who's going to matches.
Right.
I'm like, you know, of course Rey Mysterio's going to win this match, or of course Batista's going to win this match. And then he would predict the other person, because as an adult, he was following the storyline.
And he knew
that Batista versus Undertaker was the match for the next pay-per-view. So, of course, Booker T wasn't going to win the number one contenders match.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. I feel like that was an actual match at some point. let's see. Next question comes from
the Witters.
The Witters. How does WWE book the Wyatt Six without them becoming Retribution 2.0? My answer to this is I don't even know, to be honest with you. Like, I don't even know what they're doing next week with this team. And so I think this is a week by week thing for me. But I think it's a legitimate fear to have that this might just turn into Retribution 2.0.
I think the best way to book these guys is to keep them out of traditional wrestling matches and keep them only to like gimmick matches, whether it be like the cinema matches. Yes. Where like at the freaking like
bring back the cinematic matches.
Yeah, that, or if you do put them in the wrestling ring, you do something like a gimmick match, like a Hell in a Cell, or you do like hardcore like thumbtack match. I don't know. Or like a street fight. Don't do traditional wrestling matches. Do like stuff that can, like, do backstage brawls that last maybe like 10, 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So my thing is like, in their current state, they don't need titles. They don't need wins. They're just here to mark people. And so this first feud, which I'm assuming is Gable. First off, that's the most important feud of their existence, because if this one sucks, then no one's going to care. I'm going to add a question to this, because this is a fear I have with Gable in this situation, is this: if this does not go well, I have a feeling all of his momentum gets erased like they did with LA Knight.
I just feel like Gable should have been the first test subject for these guys.
But my irritation with that is Gable already had a story.
Yeah.
Like, at least with Jey Uso, I still think that would have been stupid to use Jey, but Jey wasn't in a story outside of I just want to win Money in the Bank. He didn't have a feud going on at the moment.
And he was using all the Yeet Flies. Use that as like...
That made more sense. Like, Jey Uso made more sense than Chad Gable. I mean, but you could, like, even with this feud with Otis, you could have thrown out little, like, teasers that you were going to attack him eventually once that feud was over. I don't know. It just feels weird that Gable's the first. I feel like this completely stops all of his momentum. And it just feels weird to me.
Because now what we're supposed to do, get the Creed brothers to back them up against these fucking
right
serial killers? Like, what?
And it's weird. And, like, the logical part of me is sort of like, okay, Adam Pearce, you're the GM. Where the fuck's the police at?
Adam Pearce wasn't even there last night.
You're right. He was smart enough to not show up. But, yeah, I mean, being logical, like, he needs to bring SWAT with him. They need to arrest these motherfuckers in the middle of the ring because there was live murder on TV. Winner's last question. And with the group being called Wyatt Six, we only saw 5 members. Do you think Alexa Bliss comes back and is the actual leader and is the 6th member?
Shout Nary D.
Yeah.
I think he actually made a great point on this earlier during his Monday episode.
Yep.
Was that Alexa Bliss is kind of too big or too noble outside of wrestling, whether it be on her social media
right
and whatnot, you know, got married, had a kid. Like, we know too much about her personal life. I can't tell you shit about Dexter Lumis outside of he was married to Indy on NXT, which I actually thought it was a real relationship until I found out that Indy was gay. So I don't know nothing about Dexter Lumis. I can't tell you shit about Joe Gacy. Can't tell you nothing about Nikki Cross. And I can't tell you nothing about Eric Rowan, whatever they call him. Can't tell you nothing about these guys. So I think it's best to leave Alexa out of this, at least for the time being. And if you do introduce her to this, don't introduce her as part of the group. Introduce her as maybe a combatant, someone to face. Someone to go against Bo Dallas, you know what I'm saying, as Uncle Howdy. So something along those lines, I wouldn't put her into the group. I do think that the 6th member is just like the spirit of Bray Wyatt. I don't think they're going to add a 6th member because I don't see anyone being like the true leader outside his group besides Alexa Bliss. But I think Alexa is too big for this group.
Right. So... Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm leaning towards Bray Wyatt's the 6th member, and that's what the lantern's going to resemble. Is the spirit of Bray. If there is a 6th member,
Adam Pearce,
that would be crazy, really, really crazy. But I remember 2 months ago, of reading a news article that they were about to call up Fallon Henley, and she was going to turn into some like psychotic cowgirl. And I just remembered that while listening to Nerdy D's podcast, because he talked about this more as a cult, like psychotic cult more than supernatural, which I agree with. I think she, especially with like, if the whole idea is these are people who were part of a group that got removed from the group and can't find a home. And so Howdy brought them together as family. That kind of works with Fallon Henley. Especially if they want to like convert her to more like psychotic. She just turned heel in NXT. So I mean, it kind of works if that's where they want to go. I don't think they add a sixth member though. I think it's painfully clear what they were doing. It's Bray Wyatt. And I even think you could still sort of utilize like a ghost type figure where he's not there in the room, but like he's there in spirit, and you can make that part of the storyline. I don't know. This whole gimmick, they got to get it right, because I think people are going to lose interest pretty quick if it becomes too corny.
They got to tread lightly with this one.
Yeah, I don't know how much, like I don't know. This almost sort of like spins off to me where like Netflix wants to make this like its own. This could be a TV show, and I'd be 100% on it. Like if Netflix makes like an Uncle Howdy TV show, I'm all for it. I'm not a big horror fan, but I'd watch it. This doesn't really seem to me like horror though. Like I think people need to realize that like the horror genre has changed from like jump scares and just like scary to more like psychological thriller. It's more about the mind games now in a lot of horror movies. And that's what this is. And that's why I was kind of upset. Like they could have really dragged out this while instead of doing QR codes, like really dragged out where like the entire roster was on edge waiting for these people to show up.
Facts.
And then they finally show up. What's crazy to me is like, they should have fucking, you would think they would attack catering. That's where everyone sits. Like damn fucking Dijak's going to have to Dijak and Odyssey Jones are going to be the next ones to get hit.
Dijak already said he's not fighting them.
Right. Dijak about to just let them have their way. I kind of thought that he would be a part of this, to be honest with you.
No, because it truly would be Retribution 2.0.
Yeah, that's probably what his fear was, that they would convert him back to T-Bar.
But before we head into the end of the show, I have a question that I want to pose to you to think over for till next week. Or maybe you can even answer it on your solo show.
Okay.
So a question for you to ponder is because this question reemerged with me when I was watching the Wyatt Six stuff go down. Is what's like a list of things or some things in wrestling from a like logistic, like real world standpoint that makes you hate wrestling sometimes or makes you like question or irritates you as like a pet peeve? Like, for example, I'll give you one example to like, you know, lead you in the right direction. Is like for me, when you have two heels discussing their plan in the back as if there isn't a live camera right in front of them recording a conversation. Like TNA back in the day, what they used to do is when like two heels were like discussing what they're gonna do, like the cameraman was sneaking the camera shot from like behind like some like clothes in a broom closet. Like it was like obstructed by like a pant leg, and he was like, you could see him like actually like in the closet recording the two wrestlers, and that's how like their plan got put on TV, not just the two of them disclosing info in front of a camera. Okay. So like, were like some like logic loopholes or logic not loopholes, logic what's the looking for, like in movies, like plot holes? But were some logic plot holes that irritate you in wrestling?
Okay.
Because with me last night with the Wyatt Six was when they're bringing out their entrance during the triple threat match, but meanwhile they're attacking everybody in Gorilla. But they're bringing their fucking doorway entrance, their special entrance. That's one thing that, like a nitpicking logic thing that irks me sometimes. So that's my question to you for either next week or your solo show, whichever you choose to answer.
We might answer that on Friday. I ain't really got much to talk about other than NXT itself. So yeah, we're going to save that for Friday. So with that, I forgot who's playing this week. Is it me or you?
It's my turn to give you someone.
Okay, so I'm gonna be quiet until he.
Or actually, no, sorry. It's your turn to give me someone.
My turn to give you someone. Okay.
I think.
I don't remember. We'll just go with.
I think you. I gave you a wrestler, and then you said yes to the very next wrestler. It was a very short game.
Yeah. All right. So I'll go. I'll give you a wrestler. We'll start. So he's gonna be quiet until I name a wrestler better than. We're going to go away from WWE, and we're going to say MJF.
Okay.
So we're going to start with Jack Perry. You know, everyone's favorite. The Young Bucks. LA Knight. Okay. Let's see. I don't know how much you have watched NXT, but Lexus King. I mean, Carmelo Hayes. Ooh. Bronson Reed. Rey Mysterio. Dominic. Okay. All right, let's do The Miz. I don't know. Have I done him already? No. Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No? No.
Crazy. Roman Reigns. Oh, boy. Swerve Strickland. Christian Cage. I don't know what the hell just happened there, but okay. Dang, I don't know who else. Dang, you really surprised me with the Randy Orton one. Jey Uso. No. All right. Trick Williams. Will Ospreay. No. Okay. Who's better than MJF? Damn. You left a bunch of Seth Rollins.
Yeah, okay.
I'll say yeah, Seth okay. Rollins. Oh, you think Seth is better than Orton and Roman?
So the problem, okay, so it's not that Seth is better than Randy and Roman. It's just that when I compared them to each other,
okay,
I was like, okay, so I was gonna say Rey Mysterio is my all time favorite.
Right.
But I was like, Rey Mysterio really lags on the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, MJF is a great wrestler. Go back and watch his matches. Yeah. The match I love to watch is versus Daniel Bryan, the Iron Man match.
Yeah.
That truly shows how amazing a wrestler MJF is. So mm-hmm. I was like, you know, MJF, he can do almost everything in the ring. This man's fucking amazing. And I was like, he's a great mic skills. And then you say Randy Orton, and I was like, Randy Orton's really great on the microphone, but he can't do as much wrestling as MJF can. And okay. then and he's like, Will Ospreay. I was like, well, Will Ospreay can do virtually every fucking wrestling move in the book.
Right.
But, like, this man, he's not really a mic guy yet or a story guy yet. Right. So I was like, in Roman Reigns, you know, as far as wrestling at the WWE level, he's like a 7 out of 10 as far as, like, the moves he can do and needs to do. And I feel like his story was the bloodline story, as amazing as it was, you know, Roman did really great mic work, but it was also the contribution from every other person in that
right.
thing.
Right.
It was a team effort. So I was just like, I came close to saying yes to a few guys, but then I was just like, MJF just got MJF is the prototypical, like, what every wrestler should aspire to be. He's a great in-ring wrestler. He can tell a story. He's great on the microphone. He can get you to hate him. He can get you to cheer him in the same promo.
Right.
And he knows how to work the crowd. And I think MJF is top five in the business right now.
Okay.
He top five easy. He might even be top three.
Okay.
I hold MJF very highly. But then when we got to Seth Rollins, I was like, okay, Seth, he can wrestle it with the best of them. Seth has proven every freaking week that he can talk. He has some great storylines as well. He changed his character so many different times that he still gets over.
Right.
I was like, I can't say no to Seth.
All right. So just hypothetical, if you didn't talk during Seth, my next two were going to be Gunther and Logan Paul. Would any of those got you talking?
I probably would say yes to Gunther.
Okay.
Logan Paul. So if we got to the point where you didn't say Seth and you didn't say Gunther,
mm-hmm.
I might have given in to end the game and said yes to Logan Paul.
Okay. Well, that's another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. Thank you all for listening. We want to hear your thoughts. So join the Discord, link in the description. That's where all the talk is happening. Join that conversation. Click the QR code. Go get your merchandise, your Wyatt 6 merch, your new Seth Rollins shirt, which is hard as hell. Really good shirt. And that link's also in the description. Like, share, subscribe, click follow on iTunes, subscribe everywhere else. Turn on your notifications. Again, leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. Let us know what you think of the show. And until the next one, we will see y'all later. Brother, I'm going run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion.